Welcome to the Leeds Church Institute podcast. LCI is a faith-based organisation for lifelong learning. Today's podcast is taken from our recent event, Christians in Education. Anthea College, who works with the four central universities in Leeds as the Church of England chaplain, is part of the Board of Trustees of One Body, One Faith, talks about LGBTQ inclusion in schools.
Okay, so thank you to LCI for inviting me. I'm Anthea. As a job, I work at mostly at the University of Leeds, but also at the four central Leeds universities as the Church of England chaplain. And I am also on the one of the board of trustees of an organisation called One Body, One Faith, which used to be called the Lesbian and Gay Christian Movement. So people have often heard of that a bit better than One Body, One Faith. Helen asked me to come and do this evening quite a few months ago now. And since then, the question of LGBT inclusion in education has just suddenly, it's in the news, it's on, it's everywhere, isn't it? And but it was a bit hard, to be honest, preparing. Poor Sam has had to put up with me in our office, pulling my hair out, going, I don't know what to say. Because I didn't know who would be coming, what people's perspectives would be, that kind of stuff. I guess in terms of the conversation that we're having, it's always helpful to respect the range of Christian opinions on this topic as Christian opinions. For the avoidance of doubt, I am in favour of not just LGBT inclusion in education, but also in churches. The trusteeship of One Body, One Faith implies that to anyone who looks up my CV. And on behalf of One Body, One Faith, last year for the government consultation on, they've changed the name of it since I was at school, Relationships and Sex Education, RSE. SRE, okay. I got an email today with RSE. Perhaps they'd got that the wrong way around. Sex and Relationship Education. Government did a consultation last year, and I wrote the One Body, One Faith submission on that, arguing that there should be teaching about LGBT identities throughout the schooling process. I went to school during Section 28 years. I started at secondary school the year before Section 28 came into force. So 1989 I started. And I don't know that I ever noticed a great deal, that it had seemed to have an effect when I was at school, except that we were banned from hugging each other. So I was at an all-girls school, and this was what my school had decided would be promoting homosexuality as a pretended family relationship, would be allowing pupils to hug each other. So they banned that. What we did do in school was a massive amount of sex education on how not to get pregnant, loads of it, and also on HIV because it was that time. So I'm grateful to my school for doing that. That was important information for people to know. But there was literally nothing on relationships. The assumption was we would all want to be brain surgeons or physicists, that none of us would want to be mothers at any point. It seemed to be. And there was also, because of the time, zero recognition of that anyone might not be straight, and definitely no recognition that anyone might not be cisgender. That was a long time ago that I was at secondary school, and I would have hoped that things would have changed. But we run a group at the chaplaincy at the universities called Queer Space, which is a space within the kind of faith communities for LGBT students and their allies. And talking to those students, they still, having just finished compulsory education, still don't get any relationships education at all. Zero, they say. And no, they say. And it's not being particularly inclusive, for example, of the ones who are non-binary, so not male or female. There is a kind of, there's evidently some kind of gap, because they're either not noticing it or it's not being delivered well in schools outside Leeds. I don't know. And I guess my main kind of thought in relation to the some of the controversy and so on about inclusion is really just to highlight the fact that my education was completely absent of anything to do with LGBT people, in fact, anything to do with relationships. And yet, lo, me and my friends, we're still lesbian or bi or trans or non-binary or asexual. Not talking about it doesn't, you know, make it go away. It's not that suddenly everybody's becoming trans. It's just that suddenly it's getting talked about more. So what I had in mind in terms of talking about tonight was maybe to just think a little bit about some of the kind of legislation that is being talked about at the minute and some of the barriers that we see in terms of LGBT learners in higher education. I appreciate that is not everybody's area of interest, but I'm not a teacher and there's a limit to what I can usefully say about compulsory education. But I think there are probably some points of correspondence in terms of the older learners in higher education. So that's where I was thinking we would go. So this is really just to highlight that if we're thinking about inclusion in education, it's compulsory education, it's further education, it's higher education, it's adult learning and lifelong learning. I've probably missed some out. Have I missed anyone off? I don't know. And also the staff who work in those places, so both the teaching staff and professional staff and support staff. And within higher education, there's been a recent report about LGBT inclusion, and these are the areas that it picks out in terms of inclusion being important. Obviously, not all of these apply when you're thinking about compulsory education. So it's the content of the academic provision, accommodation, catering. By that, they mean bars and things, staff. Facilities, the induction processes and transition, recruitment of students, registry, involvement in societies, sports, and also welfare and support services. So there's quite a lot of areas, actually, that LGBT inclusion ends up kind of covering. And this is why, I guess, we're talking about it now. So the public sector duty, equality duty, means that we all have to have due regard to the need to eliminate discrimination and to foster equality and good relationships. There has been this change announced in terms of relationships and sex education in schools and the protests that we've seen, some of which were religious protests. And I think there is an increased recognition and corresponding to that, a rejection by some people of particularly gender diversity in young adults and children. And it seems to be these days that it's particularly the gender diversity that is pushing people's buttons and sort of freaking them out a bit. So thinking about young children identifying as trans or non-binary. Sorry about the small writing. These are the barriers that have been identified for LGBTQ learners in higher education. So, in essence, looking at that list, despite kind of big advances in how things have been going, actually being LGBTQ, even in higher education, even now, even in our Western country, is still quite tough on a lot of young adults. They encounter bullying, they encounter harassment, they encounter exclusion, which isn't always noted. And any of these barriers are potentially kind of magnified if they are both a person who is LGBTQ and they're of faith. Sometimes it depends a bit on the faith community, but you've got a kind of double marginalization going on, given the fact that faith identities within the secular space of the university is kind of seen as marginal. And there's also a sort of dual, so LGBTQ people find it at university, find it hard to be out as people of faith in the LGBT society, and they find it hard to be out as LGBT people in their faith community. And so you've got the kind of double whammy. And what in effect happens is that it pushes people back into the closet. So they might have thought they were going to come out at university and be kind of, ta-da, here I am, here's me. And often in some contexts they are, but then in other contexts they feel they can't be. And that sets up a sort of cycle of minority stress, really. So because people feel that they can't be out, they can't be themselves, it has these knock-on effects with their mental health. And so the universities are trying to address a lot of these things, but it's an institution. It takes a while to come through. And unfortunately, LGBTQ students are both more likely to have mental health challenges and they're more likely to drop out of university than heterosexual and cisgender students. And according to the research, this is kind of roughly why it's these kind of barriers. So I thought it'd be good to not just listen to me the whole time to talk. So I wonder, maybe let's start in twos or threes, just discuss with the people around you. Of those barriers there, do any of them seem relevant to your context, to the places that you're particularly thinking about? If not, can you come up with other barriers that might be related to your context? And is there anything you think could be done to address these barriers for LGBTQ learners? Is that okay? Go for it. So there has been some research that's come out recently. It's from Leeds Beckett University. They have an LGBT inclusion in education unit that does research on this stuff. And they've recently put out the results of a survey they've done, which was an online survey of parents and teachers about this question of that's been hitting the news about including LGBT education in compulsory schooling. And I guess we know, but the kind of LGBT education that's being included is basically to say, ooh, LGBT people exist. you don't have to agree with their existence, but legally they exist. We're here. So it's not about teaching 4-year-olds about sex. Right. So the Leeds Beckett, they found, 88% of parents and teachers thought that parents should not be allowed to withdraw their children from sex and relationships education, specifically anything about LGBT people. 94% of these parents thought it was important that schools taught children about LGBT identities, and the same proportion, probably the same people, felt that schools had a responsibility to promote LGBT inclusion. 88% agreed or strongly agreed that schools were not promoting sexual orientation or gender identity simply through teaching children about LGBT people and relationships. And the authors say that, in their opinion, this indicates that people understand a role of the school is to raise awareness that different types of identities exist. People were less sure in this survey about teaching young children. So they asked about children from the age of 4, so I guess the start of compulsory education. 76% thought that children from the age of 4 should be taught about different kinds of relationships. 73% thought that children should be taught about same-sex marriage from the age of 4. But only 50% thought that schools should teach children about transgender identities from the age of 4. Highlighting what I mentioned earlier, really, about sort of gender diversity being more of an anxiety for people, I think. I made some notes of what the authors felt this said. So they drew out the point, really, that people are objecting to young children being told that different kinds of relationships exist. But at the same time, schools do fake marriages where children go into church and dress up as a bride and a groom and have a pretend marriage. And so if it's okay to be teaching about heterosexual marriage, then it's tricky under British law and under the systems in which we work to make an exemption for other kinds of relationships, really. Of course, people may have moral objections to those other kinds of relationships.
It's also about what it does to the children whose parents.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Quite a lot of our kids.
Yeah, so there will be children with different kinds of families, not just same-sex parents, but lone parents and adoptive families and grandparents and all that kind of thing. Being brought up by older siblings. So that, I guess, is the aim of that kind of inclusion. I leave it to people who have the expertise to know whether that aim is being met in terms of education at the moment. We know that obviously some faith groups and some communities contest this, that they think that LGBT identity shouldn't be being taught. But it is worth knowing for some of us, our faith communities have produced documents. You will know all about this. Yep, as will Anne. So the Church of England has very clear guidance on countering homophobic, transphobic, biphobic bullying, and that it's couched in those terms, that it's about preventing bullying, not promoting a particular kind of sexuality or a view of sexuality. There's the Catholics also have a similar document, and the Jewish faith, I believe, also have a similar one for their schools. So I thought for our final bit of discussion, I've suggested some questions here. What do you think of those survey results? Do they fit with your experience? Would you want to dispute them? What do you see are the key issues about LGBTQ inclusive education, considering that it is contested to some degree? This seems to be an important point. What is the difference in practice between promoting a particular view and educating children that a view exists? And what questions would you like answered coming out of this evening? And so once we've had a bit of time as a whole group just discussing these kind of questions or anything else, then I thought we would pray together, and then we'll be finished. And yeah, go and have, if anyone wants food,
yes,
go and get food, because we don't want to waste it. So I think I was just thinking that something I say when I'm doing stuff about pride and things like that quite often is that it's very easy to, the negative voices are really loud, and they are genuinely there. I mean, I'm not saying they don't exist, but it's quite easy to get sucked into thinking those negative voices are the main voices. And even in the Church of England, which has its significant problems around inclusion on sexuality and so on, there was a survey, a proper survey, a Gallup poll and everything of people who actually go to Church of England churches, and 60% were in favour of Church of England doing same-sex marriages. So actually, the positive voices are in fact in the majority. It's not 100%. 94% of those parents that responded, anyone could have responded. And I guess there would have been impetus for people who didn't like the idea to respond. And yet the people who responded were in favour at least of schools being inclusive to a point. So, I don't think we should get too, despondent about things. because, you know, Pride's coming up and Pride is a big deal. And people of Leeds turn out en masse to come to Pride. Okay.
Thank you, Antia. You're going to be...